Good morning. Welcome to The Path of Healing. I'm your host, Reverend Lee West, here at WWDBA 60 AM Talk Radio. We want to thank you for joining us here in the Philadelphia area, the tri-state area. We want to welcome you to a new show. And this morning, we're going to continue to talk about grief. However, I will say that probably beginning next week, we're going to begin talking about mix it up a little bit. Missing children here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and not understanding how so many children can come up missing and nothing's being broadcasted on the news, no information except for something like Newsbreak. And we thank Newsbreak for putting out there the missing children that come up in our city. However, we need more. And parents, I'm sure, are in need of help trying to locate these children and why so many children are disappearing. But here's the thing. I want you to understand that it's not only here, but it's across the nation. Children are coming up missing, and I'm talking everything from toddlers, babies, to teenagers, to young adults are coming up missing with no kind of answer and nothing to fall back on. But I want to thank you again for joining us here on this Sunday morning. And as we continue to move forward, want to talk about healing. As you know, this show is called A Path to Healing. We have gone through a lot in 24. We've gone through a lot in 23. Some parents are still grieving some 10, 15 years later, 20 years later. This is not something that just goes away, but there is a way to helping yourself heal when someone dies. Someone you have loved has died, and you are now faced with a difficult but important need to mourn. Mourning is the open expression of your thoughts and feelings regarding the death of the person who has died. It is an essential part of healing. You are beginning a journey that is often frightening, painful, overwhelming, and sometimes very lonely. This article that I'm going to go through, some of the information that I have been reading and studying up on, I'm going to share with you now on how you can deal with the grief that you're going through. Realize your grief is unique. What does unique mean? It's different. Nobody, no one will ever grieve in the exact same way. Your experience will be influenced by a variety of factors, the relationship that you had with the person who died, if it was your daughter, if it was your son, if it was your parent, if it was your grandparent. That is a identifying factor on how you are going to grieve. It's and everybody who grieves differently. The relationship you had with that person, me and my daughter were very close. But when my father passed away in 2019, my grief was totally different than when my daughter passed away in 2016. The circumstances surrounding the death, my father passed away due to an illness. His lungs became infected, and he passed away from that. My daughter was murdered. So it's a totally different feeling. Your emotional support system and your cultural and religious background also plays a role in how you are going to grieve. As a result, these factors, you will grieve in your own special way. Don't try to compare your experience with that of other people or to adopt assumption about how long your grief should last. Nobody can tell you how long to grieve. Nobody can tell you how long you should want to be alone. You should want to just kind of reflect on yourself and reflect on a person that you may have lost. How long you just don't want to be bothered with anybody. You don't want to go out right now. You don't want to go to the movies. However, I will say this. It is important that at some point in time you do begin to think about yourself, that you do begin to say, you know what, I need to get out the house. I need some fresh air. I need to be around other people that are going to make me laugh, that are going to make me smile, that are going to kind of lighten this emotional feeling or roller coaster that I'm on. Consider taking a one day at a time approach. That allows you to grieve at your own pace. Some people who've never been through this will try to rush you through it. Maybe not, and please understand, it's not a thing of they don't love you, they're insensitive, they don't care about you. That's not the case at all. They miss you. They want you to be back to where you are. And this is to the way you were. And this is very important when it comes to siblings of a child that was killed. That child has brothers, sisters, and what have you. They still need your love. They still need to know that even though mom or dad are going through, they still love me. They are still here with me. They still want to be with me. The fact that I lost my brother or sister is not keeping them from showing me that love and letting me know that they still care for me. Expect to feel a multitude of emotions. Experiencing loss affects your heart, your head, and spirit. So you may experience a variety of emotions as part of your grief work. Confusion, disorganization, fear, guilt, relief, or explosive emotions. Now, once again, I have experienced this. Now, and if it wasn't through me, it may have been through a relative, such as my son. His grief pattern was very different. It hit him very hard when he lost his sister, and his emotional state, he could go from 0 to 100 in no time. If you looked at him a certain way, if you said something a certain way, he would just come at you. And that's all in grief. You know, his desire, his will, his drive to move forward, he lost it. Grief took that away. He is now coming back. He's bouncing back. He's beginning to do things. He's beginning to see the joy and excitement of family. So he is beginning to come around. But once again, it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. These are some of the things that I mentioned as far as disorganization, fear, guilt, relief, or explosive emotions are just a few of the emotions you may feel. Sometimes these emotions will follow each other within a short period of time, or they may occur simultaneously. It's kind of like when you put a mop cocktail together, you put all that burning fluid in that bottle. And then when you put that cloth in there and you light that cloth, that's the ignition, and that thing just blows. And this is how our emotions are. We have all these things bottled up inside of us. We have all these emotions and things inside of us. And then all of a sudden, something happens, and boom. You know, we take it out on our families. We take it out on our wives. We take it out on our husbands. One of the things that you need to look out for is we're very quick to blame each other. Especially a husband and a wife. It's your fault that so-and-so was murdered. It's your fault that so-and-so left here and never came back home. It's an up and down roller coaster, and it is really, truly something very hard to deal with, and something that we really need to help with. You can't do it by yourself. You cannot. So what do we talk about this? What are some of the emotional limits? Your feelings of loss and sadness will probably leave you fatigued and tired and worn out, emotionally stressed. Your ability to think clearly and make decisions may be impaired. This is why they say when you're going through grief and you're going through the loss, especially of your child, do not make hasty decisions. I have to sign this right now. I have to move out of here right now. I have to do this right now. Give yourself some time to grieve. Give yourself some time. You know, you ever buy a soda at the store and you drop the soda, and all of a sudden the bottle gets real tight. But as you unscrew it and as you take that cap off, loosen that cap, some of that pressure begins to release slowly but surely. Well, that's the same thing in a sense that we deal with when it comes to grief. We have to sit back and say, okay, a little bit at a time, I'm going to begin to relieve this pressure. I'm going to begin to relieve these emotions and these feelings that I'm having. So we always say, don't make any hasty decisions during a time of grief, especially in the beginning. And people are going to be coming at you, I need you to sign this, I need you to do this, I need you to take care of this. I need to say, wait a minute, back up. Give me time. Respect your body and what it's telling you. Nurture yourself. Get daily rest. Eat a balanced meal. Lighten your schedule as much as possible. Try not, you know, some people say, well, if I keep busy, if I keep moving forward, I'll be okay. Sometimes you need that break. You need to sit back and say, you know what? I'm not going into work today. I need time off. I need time to get myself together. So lighten your schedule as much as possible. Caring for yourself doesn't mean feeling sorry for yourself. And most people want to rock, oh, look at over there having a pity party. Look at over there. Listen, I just lost someone close to me. Give me the respect that's due. Give me my space. Give me my time to be able to just relieve myself, to be able to scream if I want to scream. You know, I always tell people in our group, I said, listen, don't do it to the fine china. But if you feel that you have to go outside and you need to take a couple plates with you and you just need to throw them against the ground, then you do what you got to do. If you need to go outside and you need to just scream and let loose, scream that person's name, then you do what you have to do. It means you are using survival skills. You're not keeping it bottled up. You're not walking around here with the woe is me, even though your emotions are at that point where you're feeling like, I just can't do this anymore. But there's always light at the end of the tunnel. You know, when I went through with losing my daughter, you know, it's nothing to go to dinner and break out and just start crying. It's nothing to go to the market and see something that she may have liked and just start crying. It's nothing to go for a ride. You know, she liked ice cream. Things like that. There's nothing to say that these things are going to not come up, because they are. That's part of life. That's part of our emotional state. That's what it is. Develop a support system. Reaching out to others and accepting support is often difficult. You don't feel like talking. You don't feel like being bothered. I don't feel like expressing myself. I don't want to tell you how I'm feeling. In time, you will need to do that, because if you keep all of that inside, if you keep holding on to these things, it's going to make it even more harder, particularly when you hurt so much. But the most compassionate self-action you can do as this difficult time is to find support, or find a support system of caring friends and relatives who will provide the understanding you need. Do not get upset if somebody does not give you the answer that you need or that you're looking for. A lot of times it's because people don't understand what you are dealing with. They have no idea how you are feeling because they've never been through it. So therefore, they don't know what to expect. They don't know what to say. In their mind, they are saying something comforting. In their mind, they're trying to help you get through it. Don't get upset with them. It's not personal. It's because they don't know. They're not sure. They don't understand. So when you find this group, you want to find people who will provide the understanding you need. Find those people who encourage you to be yourself and acknowledge your feelings, both happy and sad. How are you feeling right now? Why are you feeling that way? What's going on? And they'll, you know, when you ask the question, give them the opportunity to answer. Don't just jump in. Don't just butt in. A lot of people need to know that somebody is simply listening to what they have to say. You don't always have to have an answer or a rebuttal or come back with something, some kind of advice. I didn't ask you for advice. I just asked you to listen to me. Make use of a ritual. The funeral ritual does more than acknowledge the death of someone you loved. It helps provide you with the support of caring people. Most importantly, the funeral is a way for you to express your grief outside yourself. Now, I'm a pastor, and here's my thing about funerals. It seems to be the only time when people can come together to see one another. And I'm just basing this, and this may not be true in every situation, but I'm basing this on what I have seen. People come to a funeral, there's going to be food there, there's going to be family there, there's going to be friends there. Yeah, let's go. Here's my issue. Once the funeral is over, once the families have gone home, everybody's gone their separate way, and you're left there by yourself. The sad part about it is nobody reaches out to you. Nobody calls you. Nobody says, hey, just checking on you, see how you're doing. They've gotten their food. They said their hellos. They said their goodbyes. And now you're by yourself. You need to find someone, some people, family or otherwise, who you can reach out to, who you can connect with, who you know is going to connect with you, who's going to give you what you need to make it through the next day. At nighttime, you know, grief, you're by yourself or you're laying in bed or whatever the case may be, you're alone. And grief just seems to take over. And it can do some awful things. It can make you feel awful. Most importantly, the funeral is a way for you to express your grief outside yourself. If you eliminate this ritual, you often set yourself up to repress your feelings, and you cheat everyone who cares of a chance to pay a tribute to someone who has and always will be loved. It was hard for me when my daughter was murdered, when Robin was murdered, because I didn't have the opportunity to bury her per se. There was so much damage done to her body that we had to just cremate her. We couldn't even see her. We couldn't even say goodbye in that manner. We had a picture. That was it. My daughter was a beautiful young lady, and I wished that I had the opportunity to be able to just see her and give her a proper goodbye, and, you know, but it is what it is. But I had to make it through. I had to find the right support system in that matter, and I had to deal with it accordingly. Embrace your spirituality, whatever is your belief, whoever you are praying to, whoever you are serving. If faith is a part of your life, express it in ways that seem appropriate to you. Allow yourself to be Allow yourself to be around people who understand and support your religious beliefs. One of the things that really helped me at the time of my daughter's murder, I was a police officer for the School District of Philadelphia, and I was working at Frankfort High School. When the students found out about the murder of my daughter, I gained many daughters. I gained many, as the young men used to call me, Pop-Pop or Dad or Grandpop or Uncle, whatever the case may be. But it was a sense of, this man is going through. He's been nothing but kind to us, and we want to reciprocate. And they were there for me. They supported me while I was in my grief. You know, we talk about our children and how bad they are and the things that they do and what they're not doing right and what have you. But I'm going to tell you something. Deep down inside, these children are not only looking for love, but they're looking to give love. You know, and I've seen this with my own eyes. I didn't realize what our children go through until I started working for the School District of Philadelphia. And the depression, the abuse, the whatever the case may be, I learned a lot from our youth working at the School District of Philadelphia. If you are angry at God because of the death of someone you loved, realize this feeling is as a normal part of your grief work. Find someone to talk with who won't be critical of your feelings of hurt and abandonment. My older son felt this way. He's very angry with God because God allowed his sister to be murdered. So therefore, you know, I don't want to go to church. And I have talked to many families who at one time were in church, who were believers, but as soon as they lost that loved one, that child, to murder, I don't want to go to church. Don't talk to me about prayer. I don't want to, none of that. I am angry with God. And this isn't a reaction, a feeling that we go through. Allow a search for meaning. You may find yourself asking, why did this person die? Why this way? Why now? This search for meaning is often another normal part of the healing process. Yes, I want to know why at 19 years old was my daughter murdered? Why was her murder so brutal? You know, why did this happen? Why did it happen there? What, you know, the timing, why? She was about to be 20 years old. She was 4 days from her 20th birthday. Why now? So these are questions that we always ask. Some do not ask the question. Some just roll with it. Actually, the healing occurs in the opportunity to pose the question or questions, not necessarily in answering them. Find a supportive friend who will listen responsively as you search for meaning. Now, I have talked to the district attorney in Essex County, New Jersey. I've questioned him about the opportunity to speak to the man who murdered my daughter. He said that's well within your right if he'll even talk to you. That's the only issue. I think we all have in the back of our mind, especially those who have lost someone, and it doesn't have to be murder, because I'm sure the question comes up even when a grandparent passes away. Why? Why now? How come? Why this way? Those questions, unfortunately, may never get the answer to. You may never know. And that's a reality that we have to face. I don't know why he killed my daughter. I don't know why he killed her in the way that he did. So it's almost like you're forced to accept what has taken place. You don't have a choice. So find a supportive friend who will listen. And I use the key word again, listen, not necessarily blurting out advice or answers. Treasure your memories. Memories are one of the best legacies that exist after someone loved dies. Treasure them. Share them with your family and friends. Recognize that your memories may make you laugh or cry. In either case, they are a lasting part of the relationship that you had with the very special person in your life. I have videos. I have recordings. I have pictures. I have abundance of times that I can remember of my daughter and I laughing. I went through her Facebook page. I went through her Instagram page. On her Facebook page, I found a video that she had recorded. And during the whole time of the recording, all she said was, "Hi, Dad." That was it. And that kind of was a relief for me. I believe it was meant for me to find that. It was kind of relief when I want to speak to her. I can say, "Hey, Robin," and she'll say, "Hi, Dad." So it helps. It helps get me through to hear her voice, to hear her laugh. I got another video where she was singing. It's comforting. So I recommend or suggest that those who have lost their child or a loved one, if they have a Facebook page, you might find something on there funny, something that brings back a memory of the laughter that you used to share. You know, physically, no, the person is not there, but you'd be amazed how you feel just to hear their voice. Move toward your grief and heal. The capacity of love requires the necessity to grieve. When someone you love dies, you cannot heal unless you openly express your grief. Denying your grief will only make it become more confusing and overwhelming. Embrace your grief and heal. Reconciling your grief will not happen quickly. Remember, grief is a process. It takes steps. It's not something that you can just turn on and off. There's no light switch for it. Be patient and tolerant with yourself. Never forget that the death of someone loved changes your life forever. Birthdays are different. Christmases are different. Thanksgiving is different. New Year's is different. Nothing is the same. Never forget that death of someone loved changed your life forever. If it's not that you won't be happy again, it's simply that you will never be exactly the same because that person is not there. When you were happy-go-lucky before their death, all of that has changed. The experience of grief is a powerful one. So, too, is your ability to help yourself heal. In doing the work of grieving, you are moving toward a renewed sense of meaning and purpose in your life. The bottom line here, when it comes to healing, you are the priority. You have to take the opportunity to say, you know what, I need to change this. And you need to do that by any means necessary. Just don't break the law. Just don't go after people. But look within yourself and find out what it is I need to do to make the necessary change in my life. I want to thank you for joining me here today at A Path for Healing at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. My name is Reverend Lee West, and I am your host. Thank you for joining me today. May God bless you. Take care of yourself. And take care of each other.
Places we would go, like your face is painted on the walls. I've been trying to forget all the moments that we spent, cause now I do it on my own. Oh, you. A little longer.